In today's news headlines, the United States Attorney General William Barr testified to the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. It was the first time in a year that Barr agreed to speak with lawmakers. The defiant Attorney General, who has been accused of politicizing the Justice Department, focused in his opening statement primarily on the deployment of federal officers to Portland, Oregon, referring to protesters repeatedly as rioters and justifying the use of force.
The current situation in Portland is a telling example. Every night for the past 2 months, a mob of hundreds of rioters have laid siege to the federal courthouse and other nearby federal property.
Mr. Barr also refused to answer a question from Committee Chair Gerald Nadler about whether President Donald Trump discussed with him the use of federal officers as a strategy for re-election.
Have you discussed the president's re-election campaign with the president or with any White House official or any surrogate of the president?
Well, I'm not going to get into my discussions with the president.
Well, have you discussed that topic with him, yes or no?
Not in relation to this program.
I didn't ask that. I asked if you discussed that.
I'm a member of the cabinet, and there's an election going on. Obviously, the topic comes up.
So the answer is yes.
Well, the topic comes up in cabinet meetings and other things. It shouldn't be a surprise that the topic of the election comes
up. I didn't say I was surprised. I just asked if you've done that. So as part of those conversations with the president or his people about the reelection campaign, have you ever discussed the current or future deployment of federal law enforcement?
In connection with what?
In connection with what you just said, in connection with your discussions with the president or with other people around him of his reelection campaign, have you discussed the current or future deployment of federal law enforcement?
Well, as I say, I'm not going to get into my discussions with the president, but I've made it clear that I would like to pick the cities based on law enforcement need and based on neutral criteria.
But you can't tell me whether you discussed...
No, I'm not going to discuss what I discussed with the president.
That's Attorney General William Barr responding to Congressman Nadler on Tuesday. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee also confronted Barr about the issue of systemic racism in police departments and the nation at large. The Attorney General responded saying that he didn't agree that there was systemic racism.
I don't agree that there's systemic racism in the police department.
Specifically,
generally in this country.
A day earlier, the news emerged that Trump was sending another 100 officers to Portland, this time U.S. deputy marshals. Mayors of several cities, including Portland's Tom Wheeler, wrote a letter to Congress demanding that they take action against the deployment of federal troops in their jurisdictions. Joining Wheeler were the mayors of Seattle, Chicago, Kansas City, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Washington. In the letter, the mayors wrote, "This administration's egregious use of federal force on cities over the objections of local authorities should never happen." But U.S. Attorney for the district that encompasses Oregon, Billy Williams, said that federal officers would not leave Portland while protesters remained outside the city's courthouse. Several Portland activists, including those participating under the banner of the Wall of Moms and Black Lives Matter, filed a lawsuit against Barr's Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security over violations of their constitutional rights. On the same day that Barr testified to the House Judiciary Committee, an Army National Guard officer addressed lawmakers about the use of force on June 1st in Lafayette Square outside the White House. The incident, which involved a violent and unprovoked clearing of anti-police protesters ahead of President Trump's church front photo op, has come under scrutiny. Major Adam DeMarco, an Iraq war veteran who serves in the D.C. National Guard, told Congress members that, quote, "Our fellow American citizens were engaged in the peaceful expression of their First Amendment rights, yet they were subjected to an unprovoked escalation and excessive use of force." But the head of the D.C. Park Police is now claiming that the clearing of protesters had nothing to do with Trump's photo op, even though the president walked through the area soon after it was violently emptied. In other news, Senate Republicans unveiled their latest version of a COVID relief bill, which includes a dramatic slashing of jobless benefits from $600 a week to $200 a week, even as tens of millions of Americans remain unemployed. The bill also includes another $1,200 payment to adults adjusted for income and $500 per dependent. The Democrats' version of the bill, which passed the House, has a much larger check for dependents. Additionally, the Washington Post explained that, quote, the GOP legislation contains a number of provisions not directly related to the coronavirus, including $1.8 billion for construction of a new FBI headquarters in Washington. President Trump has taken a personal interest in this project, but White House officials have not stipulated why they believe the language needed to be inserted in the coronavirus bill. Trump wants the FBI headquarters to remain in D.C., across from his own Trump Hotel, rather than have it moved to the suburbs as per earlier plans. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell initially appeared surprised to learn that the FBI building provision was included in the bill. Republicans need at least 5 to 6 Democrats to join them in the Senate and also have to contend with possible defections from their party. Jobless benefits run out in just days, which almost certainly will lead to gaps in benefits. The coronavirus-related news continues to be bad, with Florida as the nation's new epicenter. The Republican-run state has suffered 6,000 deaths and nearly 500,000 cases of infection. Young people are particularly impacted, with a 34% jump in COVID-related hospitalizations of patients under the age of 18 since July 16th. In spite of this, Governor Ron DeSantis plans to move forward with in-person classroom instruction within a few weeks. The Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, who has sued Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms over her mandate to wear face masks in public, has now shown some reluctance in pursuing the legal action. Kemp declined to appear at a hearing on Monday over the suit. A large majority of Americans, including Republicans, now support a federal mask mandate to control the spread of COVID-19. Meanwhile, the New York Times published a study showing that areas where COVID-19 deaths rise see a resulting fall in political support for Republicans and President Trump. The Democrat-run state of California is also struggling with COVID cases, although per capita infections put the state at about 25th in the nation. Still, infections in California's Central Valley are raging. The Latino-heavy population in the state's agricultural belt is hard hit. Californians are also deeply concerned about COVID infections among the state's prison population. And on Monday, dozens of protesters were arrested after they chained themselves to the gate of Governor Gavin Newsom's home. The protesters want Newsom to release prisoners, particularly from San Quentin, where hundreds of inmates have been infected. As growing numbers of Americans succumb to the contagious virus, President Trump posted excerpts of a live-filled video on the subject on his Twitter feed after the same video had been removed by Facebook for violating its standards. The Facebook video had already been viewed millions of times before it was removed, and then millions more saw it when Trump posted it to Twitter. The videos in question touted a supposed cure for COVID-19 in the form of Trump's favorite drug, hydroxychloroquine, which several studies have found is ineffective or even dangerous. Although Twitter eventually removed the offending video, it allowed Trump's account to remain active. But Twitter temporarily penalized the president's son, Donald Jr., for posting the same type of content. Donald Jr. released a statement claiming that it was, quote, further proof that big tech is intent on killing free expression online and is another instance of them committing election interference to stifle Republican voices. And that does it for our news headlines today.